Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Samina Spin Reflection on 2018. I hope everyone's New Year's was fantastic and your 2019 has gotten off to a fabulous start. This is the first podcast of 2019, so I thought it would be a good idea to reflect a bit on 2018, hence reflections on 2018. As always, I'd like to start you off with a quote. For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning. T.S. Eliot. I wholeheartedly believe that when you make an ending, you make a beginning. So the ending of last year was the beginning of a new year and a new time to create new opportunities for oneself and to create the life that we really want for ourselves. So for me, 2018 was very interesting for me personally. It was the second year of a move that I made pretty much live without a net, so to speak, and decided to move. And I knew that I was going to make it work no matter where I ended up. At the beginning of 2018, I was finishing up a writing project, and then early in the year, I started a new business, like a full-on writing business. And within that business, I was really feeling out what I wanted to do, what would make me happiest, because I didn't want to just plunge along or plod along doing something I wasn't passionate about, because then I would just end up where I was in 2016 when I retired from teaching. I didn't want to go into something just to be unfulfilled later on and move on to something else. So I took my time to figure out how I wanted to make this work for myself. Within that process, there was a lot of uncertainty. A lot of it. And things went in a direction that I didn't expect for them to go in. Then I sat back and I thought to myself, wow, it's already been 2 years since I moved to Georgia. It really doesn't feel like 2 years has passed. It just, in many ways, it feels like I just got here. And I still feel sometimes like I'm fumbling around in the dark, like when you just switch the lights off and your eyes have to get used to the darkness and you have to figure out where to go and you feel your way around, and your biggest fear is either stepping on something or falling and hurting yourself or breaking your goddamn neck or whatever it is. And so I felt like that a lot of 2018. Then I got used to the uncertainty, started to embrace it, as a matter of fact, because it forced me to believe in myself in a way that I've never believed in myself before. And I looked at what I've accomplished in the past. Many times in my career especially, I've basically made chicken salad out of chicken shit. So I've done that so many times in my life. I can do it again, except this time I'm not making chicken salad out of chicken shit. I'm making chicken salad out of chicken. I have what I want in front of me to work with. So that makes that uncertainty so much easier in a way, because I know I'm in a position and in a place where I want to be. I chose to be in this place. Said so many times, I'm so happy with that decision. So I've been sitting with the uncertainty, and that uncertainty more and more has turned into certainty. I spoke about this in my blog, and I compared it to driving in tunnels. When I drive in tunnels, I get claustrophobic immediately. I hate fucking tunnels. I fucking hate them. Why not just build a bridge over the water? Why do you have to build a fucking tunnel underwater? It's unnatural. It's claustrophobic. I don't like them. But then when I drive in them, and inwardly, I'm panicking just a little bit. I'll admit that. I panic just a little bit, but then I catch myself right away. And I think to myself, you're going to be out of this tunnel before you know it. Just fucking deal with it. And so before I know it, I'm out of the tunnel and I'm fine. So I started to approach my uncertainty that way as well. Like, you're in it. It'll be over before you know it. So deal with it. Like in the tunnel, I deal with it. I have my music on. I'm listening. I'm thinking other pleasant thoughts. And I'm out of the tunnel, which is what I really want. So I've applied that to uncertainty in my life and uncertainty in my business. It will be over before I know it. I can deal with it and go through and come out on the other side. So that was a big lesson for me in 2018. And I made a tremendous amount of personal growth as well. I recognized patterns and habits that didn't serve me, and I just got rid of them. And I'm a better person for it. I believe in myself now. I know I've said this before, but I believe in myself in a way I never have before in my life. And it's yielded so many positive things that I can't even go into it here. But at the very least, if you believe in nothing else, believe in yourself. And that's what 2018 has taught me personally. Of course, I didn't live in a bubble in 2018. I pay attention to the world around me. I try to pay attention to what pleases me, but I can't help but see the shit that goes on in the world. The racism, the general nastiness of people. Like, it amazed me how people make comments on social media about bullshit. Like, things that you could tell they're just looking for something to complain about, and they find it. Like, when people were criticizing Beckham and Dwayne Wade for kissing their children on the mouth. Are you fucking serious? At one end, you claim that fathers don't show enough affection to their children, and when they do, you criticize that as well. Like, I really think there are some people who are just so miserable that they feel better criticizing other people for nothing. So I saw stuff like that, and, you know, and the racism that makes me uncomfortable. But in a way, it's good to show that on video and on the news, in moderation, of course. Well, actually, maybe not in moderation. Maybe you should show racism, because it tells people it exists. It's in their face and they can't deny it. And then the question is, are you going to do something about it? So you saw all of these things in 2018. I mean, you've always seen these things, but you've seen them more and more. And I started to pay attention to them in some ways a little more. Sometimes I just turn certain things off because it's, I already know it exists. And I don't need to see the details of it in front of me. So in politics, how can I not talk about politics? Where do I start? It's one clusterfuck after another, especially with this president and this administration. Politics is just one giant clusterfuck anyway, but with this president and this administration, it's on unbelievable levels. So let's see. Let's just touch on what 45 has done in 2018. Took a reporter's press pass away because he criticized him too much. No president has ever done that. He shut down the government for a vanity project. And trust me, the border wall is a vanity project. It's not for our safety. Nobody that crosses the border illegally is a terroristic threat like Huckabee Sanders tried to say. Yes, some of them are criminals, but we have fucking criminals in our own country that people always want to dismiss like, oh, they have mental illness. But when it's an undocumented immigrant or somebody black or Muslim, they're a criminal that needs to be, you know, that needs to be locked away and society needs to be protected from them. When society needs to be protected from the homegrown pieces of shit too. So don't give me that shit about border control and border safety. And to be honest with you, a lot of those people that are crossing the border are just working stiffs that want to make better lives for themselves and their families like everybody else in the world. So we don't need a wall to protect ourselves from those people. We just need decent immigration laws. That's what we need. Don't give me that shit about border safety, right? So that is a vanity project, and he knows it. Because he's trying to distract the people who really get fucked by the government from what's really going on by having them fear the unknown, like what I was just talking about, or fearing people who don't look like them. So yeah, there was no good reason to shut down the government, no good reason for a border wall anyway. And then this administration took people's kids away from them, from those same working stiffs who are trying to make better lives for themselves and their family. And by the way, it is legal to seek political asylum. So I still don't know what the argument is that, they're coming in here illegally. It's not illegal to seek asylum. And some of these scary immigrants are mothers who are fleeing domestic violence. Get over yourselves, people. Yeah, there's no excuse. There's no excuse to take kids away from their parents, two of which have died in those detention centers. So, yeah, pat our government on the back for that. So, and the best thing? Well, this started before 2018, but I still can't get over the fact that we get news about our government from fucking tweets. Tweets. So, okay. Now, I'm not just going to bash Trump. I'm not doing that because there are some good things that he did, and I'll get to that in a minute. Now, of course, there was Parkland. All right. If you don't believe we need common sense gun legislation, I'm not saying take guns away, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know how to approach you or talk to you because I'm a believer in the Second Amendment, but I don't believe any dickhead should be able to walk in Walmart and get a gun when you need a license to drive a car or catch a fish. But you need to be 21 to purchase alcohol legally, but you can let a 16-year-old walk in a Walmart or wherever the fuck people get guns and get a gun. It shouldn't be that easy. That's it. It should not be that easy to get a gun. And then when you have children who are watching their classmates die in front of them, and you have conservatives ripping them who just experienced one of the most traumatic experiences they're probably going to witness in their lives, and you still come at them, you got to look at your priorities. You have to look at your priorities. So, you know, so who knows with the NRA lobby, who knows what kind of gun control we can ever have to protect these kids. and to protect these kids from the vicious attacks from conservatives who think they're justified in attacking them. I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit that I could talk about all day long, but I won't. Now, on a lighter note, you know, we have tragedies, but then on a lighter note, we're seeing an expansion of people's views on legal marijuana. Hell, John Boehner is championing it right now. Of course, he's championing it for money. That's what it all comes down to. But the fact is that cannabis is probably safer than alcohol, and alcohol is legal. And if we legalize it, we can do really good things like what Colorado's doing, putting the taxes and revenue that they collect from legal marijuana into infrastructure and projects that actually help people. Maybe we could do that. And then maybe we can pull out of jail who are in jail for 25 years for a fucking dime bag because they just happen to be in the wrong color, be the wrong color and be in the wrong neighborhood. But that's another discussion. But I feel like we are, with the legalization of marijuana, we are moving in the right direction for so many reasons. Let's stop focusing on petty bullshit and really focus on making this country better. Like, I really think cannabis and arresting people for cannabis or marijuana or weed is bullshit. So we're focusing less on bullshit. So that's a good thing. So more good things. And I've found some good things even about Trump. I like to be balanced. I like to be balanced. Because if he does something good, you should pat him on the back. So in December, he introduced a ban on bump stocks. The things that make rifles, like machine guns. Nobody should have fucking bump stocks. If you're a private citizen, you don't need bump stocks. You don't need a weapon of war to protect yourself and your family. And if you're a conspiracy theorist who's afraid of the government, that's fine. But if the government really wants your death, they have drones. So your machine gun isn't going to help you. Deadly-seeking missiles. Machine gun isn't going to help you. If the government wants your ass, they're going to get it. So you don't need a bump stock, and you don't need a weapon of war. Protect yourself. Right? And so not having a bump stock is not infringing on your Second Amendment rights. So get over that shit. And in some ways, okay, more good things, we had some criminal justice, like Alice Johnson getting clemency from Trump after over 20 years in jail for a minor weed offense. And we're seeing more and more people get clemency. So that's a good thing. And Trump's administration has called for criminal justice reform. Of course, they're backing off because they have bigger fish to fry, but they did put that out there, this administration to put that out there. Trump secured the release of 19 prisoners released from captivity, more than Obama. So that's a good thing that came out of 2018. I have to give them that. And the people? Let's bring it back to the people. So yeah, I saw a lot of bullshit with people. But at the same time, they show up and show me good things. Now, in the midterm elections, people came out and they voted and they flipped the House. And we have openly bisexual and gay lawmakers. I think we have the first bisexual senator. I believe she's from Arizona. But we have gay governors. We have two Muslim women and one proud Democratic socialist. That's progress. That shows that people are actually caring about issues and what's going to make their lives better, not what somebody looks like. We still have some ways to go with that, but there is hope at the end of the day. Another thing that gives me hope in humanity is there is this man in the Waffle House outside of Nashville who saved people, somebody with a gun started shooting. And not only did he just save people, that wasn't enough for him. He started a GoFundMe, I believe it was that platform, for victims of the shooting. And then someone started a campaign for him, raised money for him. But not only did this man save lives, he helped them even further by getting people to donate to them, to help them. So I thought that was pretty cool. In France, a guy scaled an apartment building. An immigrant from Mali scaled an apartment building to save a boy dangling from a building. The president of France offered him permanent citizenship and a job as a firefighter. So that's what most immigrants want to do. They want to build a better life for themselves. And the president of France rewarded him for his action and gave him the opportunity to do just that. And mind you, he was staying there illegally. And the president just said, you know what? You did something good. You deserve to be rewarded. But the fact, and I saw that video, he did look like Spider-Man climbing up that building to save that little boy. So that's another good thing that came out of this year. Now, two of the most heartwarming things for me, and it touched my heart the most, well, maybe not the most, but really touched my heart, came out of Alabama, of all places. Now, I've had my fears about Alabama and my associations with Alabama just based on some of the racist history. I actually went there recently. That's another notable thing in 2018. I went to Alabama for the first time, put aside my fears, and saw a different side to it. I'm glad I did. And I actually will be going back there. So one step forward for Samina. But in Alabama, I saw two of the most heartwarming stories that I saw. So there was a kid, young African-American boy, who has a job. He gets a job. And the night before he's supposed to go to this job, his car breaks down. And because he doesn't want to make excuses, he starts to walk. I'm not sure how far the job was from where he lived, but he started to walk at like midnight or whatever time it was. And he's walking along the road. There's a young black man in Alabama. This police officer, a white police officer, stops him and asks him where he's going. Now, that could have gone badly really quickly. But luckily, we have decent human beings all around in this situation. So this cop asks him where he's going. The guy says, you're not going to believe this, but I have a job. My car broke down, yada, yada, yada. And this police officer actually helps him out, him and his partner, buy him breakfast, and then send him on his way because they're concerned about his safety. Then they call another police department, and they pick him up, and they drive him to his job. And he gets to the job site. The woman's so impressed with him, but he does his job. The owner of the company, long story short, owner of the company ends up giving him his car because he says, look, I hardly ever use this car. So there was so much goodness on all sides in this situation. That really did my heart good. And then I saw another viral video in Alabama again. So Alabama's coming up in my eyes. Like I said, I'm going back there again. So there was a video of an older white gentleman holding a black baby in a doctor's office. So what happens is this mother comes in with her baby, and she's trying to fill out paperwork, but the baby is being a baby, and she has to figure this out. So this man doesn't know this woman or this baby. He just holds the baby and holds his baby like he's holding his own grandchild. And there's no thought as to the differences between them. He just sees a baby who needs to be comforted and held, and that warmed my heart good. Or that just made my heart feel good. And it just showed me that for all the bullshit that's out there and all the bullshit that we see, there's also a lot of good. Plain and simple, there is a lot of good in the world. And I saw it and I recognized it. And I think we all need to do that. That's how we need 2019 as we look ahead. We need to just see the good that's around us and the good that's in our lives. I look forward to what 2019 has in store. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day in the year." That's a great way to approach it. If you like what you have heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and The Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.SaminaKMogul.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.